I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and today we had lit the peace candle. I'm continuing our look at our images as Christians about Advent and who we are in this age of 2015 going into 2016, how we understand our imagery as Christians, and trying to help us see the imagery in a more real way. For we understand that God is not remote from us, but God is imminent. We as Anglicans are very much committed to the idea of the imminence of God. God within us, God in the midst of us. That idea of imminency really was the thought of ancient people, early Christians, and it was part of who they were up until the time about the Black Death. And in the 1340s, in 2 years, a third of the population of Europe died. And people began to think, God is angry with us because we are now just focusing in on the earth. And so there was a move made within the church to push away and see God as in the high heavens. And they lost that sort of foundational idea of the imminent God. And it all goes back to the time of the Black Death. But we are now trying to work at restoring that ancient understanding of God. Last week, we talked about the God of hope being in the soil. That God is there in the humus. That we are from the earth, earthy. And people, because of the Black Death, they stopped being so much spiritual and they moved towards being religious. And they thought the only way that they could be saved was in a sacramental religious way, that they weren't good enough, that God didn't like them as people, and that's why so many people had died. And that, even though that's a 700-year-old thought, it carried in the culture up until about 1947, when people started to reflect on what happened to us as people in World War II. And the movement is now moving, and people are now starting to understand that I am spiritual, but I don't need to be religious. And because of that, a lot of people are falling away, and they really have even lost their spiritualness. And what I'm calling us back to is to have a voice and a way of talking to help your family, to help maybe your grandchildren or your children or your neighbors say, it's okay to be spiritual, and we find the Spirit of God alive in the material things around us. That we are recovering who we are in the material realm. So last week we looked at God as a God of hope in the soil, and that how we must see soil not as something dirty and to be destroyed, but something that's vital and alive and is a part of who we are, and God is in the midst of that, and we must protect it. Today I want to talk for peace, is the peace in water. Pouring, living water. Drinkable, loving water. Now, we often do this. I often do this when it's baptism. But the water, the life, we are water people. We come from the sea. Each and every one of us was born in the sea of our mother's. We were born in the placenta. The liquid, the amniotic fluid in the placenta is virtually the same as the seawater. It's very close. We are sea creatures, each and every one of us. We are from the water. And we have to start understanding that it's in the sea that life comes and that God is in the water. 96% of the earth is covered in water. 96%. But only 4% of all the water, of that 96%, if that equaled 100, 4% of that is water that's accessible to us, that's fresh. All the rest is saline. And it's getting sicker and more polluted every day. It's getting to the point that the plankton in the sea is dying. And that's one of the lungs. We'll talk about that next week. But the water is so vitally important to us. And of that 4%, half of it is in ice, though it's melting quickly. Half of it is in ice. And so of that last 2% of water that's accessible for the whole planet, we're not talking just about the lower mainland of British Columbia, we're talking about the planet. Only about 0.3% is really accessible for humans to use and other animal life. So we're getting down to a very small fraction of the water that is around us. And yet it is the center of who we are. In the scripture reading this morning, we have the recounting of John the Baptist going and being a baptizer and baptizing with water. The sense that we are made whole and reconnected to the wholeness of life through water. Water is a place of peace. You know, I think about the people I work with, and almost all of them, when there's an opportunity in their therapeutic endeavor to overcome trauma, not quite all, but almost all, choose to have themselves be around water as a tranquil, safe place. Some of them like to ski or snowboard, but it's still water. But most like to be on the beach or in a boat or walking beside or swimming. Water is very tranquil. It's very connecting. It's very whole-giving. And I think some of it has to do with the fact that we are water people. So peace comes in water. But we have to start understanding scripturally, if we look theologically in the Bible, that water is also a sense that God is present in water. That we, when we think about peace and we think about water, that water, God is in water and water is in us. And that we are connected deeply with the water around us. And we have to start to see ourselves using water in a way that's far more responsible and life-giving. I don't want to get too political, but I am worried when I hear about fracking, which takes fresh water, forces it down into the earth to flush out gas so that gas can be burned to add to the hydrocarbon load that's going on in the environment. And that water, once it goes into the subsoil, is gone forever in usefulness. Maybe they could start thinking about using salt water if they must frack. But freshwater fracking is bothersome to me because it is taking a resource from God and I think abusing it, seeing it as a commodity rather than as a precious element, divinely inspired, divinely given. I want us now in this Advent season to see that water is a sign of God's peace, but it also has the essence of God is in the water. And when we abuse water and misuse water, what is that saying about our spiritual connection to God, our Creator? I want us to start to see water in a new way. Not something that we can take for granted, but something that is divine. I'm not saying to worship water. We worship God. But God is in the midst of the water as well as in the midst of the soil, as well as within us, as well within each of us in community. That's why, for instance, when we baptize with water. When we have the Eucharist is partially bread, but it's also wine. And wine is mixed with water. It's to symbolize both the life-giving presence of God in the water and also the fact that at the crucifixion, water came from Jesus when he was speared on the cross. So blood and water was mingled together to give us life. So when we're thinking about our water, when we are tempted to flush some oil down a storm drain, or whatever might be going on, think about the divinity of water. And as we prepare for the birth of Jesus in our hearts, part of the season of Advent is to have us become spiritually aware of the gift of Jesus alive within us, born again within us. That's the essence of Christmas. Jesus born again within us, living in 2015, going into 2016. And part of that preparing the birth is preparing our attitudes about use of water and its peaceful use. Frankly, as I look into what's happening in California and other places around the world and see what's happening around the equator and in the deserts and the creeping deserts, I worry that the next war is not going to be fought over diamonds and oil, but it's going to be fought over water. And which country do you know of which has a lot of potable water? Us. We have to start thinking more about the divinity of water, a gift from God, and treasure it as Christian people, and encourage others. So when you're using water, and we all do, think about it in a new way, that God is alive in the water that we're using. It's not just some resource that's to be taken for granted. There is the sense of divinity, and it's a divine act of how we use our water. And we should use it with respect and gratitude and know that it brings us peace. And today, as we receive the Eucharist to which we are all invited, and especially as we receive the wine, remember it's mingled with water, part of the alive divinity of God within us. And may we go from here with a new respect and an attitude, and perhaps we can help others understand more about the blessedness of water within us and about us. May God bless us all. Amen. I now invite us to stand and to turn to the back of our books as we share together in the great Shema, the promise of God's love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.